Yeah, I'll have a large extra butter popcorn, and she'll have snow caps? Really? Snow caps? They taste like cardboard. Okay.
Come along, it's time for you to listen to this review from DC to MCU. It's time for Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews. Rundown Reviews.
Interesting.
Terribly fantastic movie. It's one of those movies that, you had to have been born in the 80s to really appreciate.
Well, God, dude, there's so many of those anymore. So many. Unlike the movie we just watched, Welcome to Rundown Reviews.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're doing a podcast.
Hey, there you go. I always tried to do like an organic start. Try to. Doesn't work out too well usually.
Yeah, man, organic.
Yeah. We just watched Superman the movie from 1978.
Yes, Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve, doing amazing.
Always my favorite Superman.
Yeah?
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong, he is... There's a reason why people compare him, or everybody compares everybody to him. He was the Superman for the time. Like, he was... George Reeves was amazing in the 50s, because that's all they had.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeve, amazing for the 70s because that...
And the 80s.
He showed... Definitely, yeah. he showed a good... Not only did he do a good Clark, he did a great Superman.
Plus, he was, 6'4".
I mean, that helps. 225?
Really than,
225, huh. Does that...
She looks down when she says that, too.
She did, yeah.
Yep.
Talk about Lois.
Lois was a horn dog. High five, Lois.
So, obviously, we've seen this movie growing up. This was a staple in our house.
If you haven't seen this movie, you should just go watch it. I think it's on Netflix.
It's on HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Yep. Any DC movie, Warner Bros. Movie we watch, if I don't have it in my collection, which
even
I
if you do have it in your collection, we still
well, yeah, because it's kind of easier to stream. yeah, it'll be. It's all on HBO Max.
So. Oh, that's right. I forgot they...
yeah, they got the contracts.
Yep.
This, obviously, I do not remember the last time I saw this movie.
I bought the movies on DVD about maybe 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think Superman... No, Batman was one of my first ones I bought. DVDs, when DVDs started coming out.
Well, see, I got these for like $5 at Walmart.
Fair. Because
they were on sale.
But like, I don't think I got them for that cheap, but I remember buying them... At Walmart.
I actually think I bought the Batman 4-pack for, nice. Like $12 or whatever. That's got, 1, 2, Forever and Batman and Robin.
I mean, I've been converting all my DVDs to Blu-rays. And so I got the Superman motion picture collection from 78 to 2005?
Six.
For returns.
Yeah.
But then, also I converted the Batman to the Blu-ray and I got the 4-pack of that.
I also think I have
this is also the Blu-ray, the DVDs that have the little clasp cover.
It's got the flip overs.
Yep,
nice.
Superman's are and then Batman's are.
That's awesome.
So I'm gonna keep them for a bit.
Yeah,
but I don't need them as anymore.
Well, you never know. What happens when the internet dies and you can't watch things on the internet anymore?
I got the Blu-rays. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Blu-rays.
No, the original DVDs.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, like I said, I'll keep those for a while. Actually, Emily just had the same conversation where it's everything's streaming because we were talking about Ant-Man and the Wasp and Far From Home, Spider-Man Far From Home and Endgame. Because as far as I know, I guess I do have Ant-Man.
I have Far From Home.
I don't have Captain Marvel, Endgame, and Far From Home, but all of them but Far From Home are streaming on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And, I mean, out of the 23 movies, I've got 20 of them. I'm going to get the last three to...
Eventually, I'll end up finishing my collection. That. I still need 7 of them because I only have the first Thor.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have Thor and then Thor Ragnarok. So I just didn't buy Dark World.
Tell you what, when... again, converting those to DVD or Blu-ray, I'll just give you mine.
Are you going to buy the big box set thing that they had?
If I didn't have 20 of the 23 movies, yes.
Oh, you already have some of them on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Superman.
Yeah, let's get into this then. You want to do the credits and such?
Sure. Listen, this is one of those where people know who's in the movie. It's kind of hard to be like, oh, so you don't know this guy. So he was in this movie.
So should we do our obscure ones? Like the Detective Armus that was also the captain in Lethal Weapon.
There you go.
And then the captain that was in the army that was moving the missile mm-hmm. was Colonel Nelson from I Dream of Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only two.
Those are the only two you saw. All right. So obviously, you know, Marlon Brando played Jor-El.
Yeah.
Big name. You know, Godfather. The one I'm also thinking of is the Island of Dr. Moreau.
That was with Val Kilmer. Movie. Yep. When Brando was a big fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Gene Hackman played Lex Luthor, of course. You know him from great movies like Hoosiers and
Young Frankenstein.
He was in Young Frankenstein.
He was the monk that the Frankenstein monster goes to, and he lights his thumb on fire. He was the blind monk.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Dude, check it out.
Hold on. Are you serious?
Hold on, I'll show you.
No, I mean...
Gene Hackman, Young Frankenstein. Images. There you go.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I did not know that was him.
Yep. I knew it was him as soon as he started talking. I didn't recognize him in the face.
Yeah, because the beard and the long hair. Big,
bushy, you know, like...
Oh, dark. Dude, that's amazing. I never knew that.
Okay. You're welcome. See, hey, I got a fun fact this time.
There you go.
On a different movie, but still. Yeah,
well, you know. Okay, we got, obviously, Christopher Reeve as Superman. Loved him. I don't know. Did you ever see Somewhere in Time?
I have not.
Dude, that's an amazing movie. Him and Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Jane Seymour, yeah.
Yep, Jane Seymour. There we go.
Seymour tits.
Amazing, amazing romance movie. It's really good.
Yeah.
Again, time travel, like we dealt with at the end of this movie. that's actually a really good movie. It came out in 1980, but we're not talking about that one. Also, he did a made-for-TV remake of Rear Window. This happened in the either late 90s or early 2000s. I can't remember which. After his accident.
Yeah.
And so he is in the wheelchair. Yeah, he was he made for TV. Can you guess which character he was?
No.
So bad. I'm so bad.
You're horrible.
I really am. But no, that actually was pretty good. I've seen the original years ago with Jimmy Stewart, but that one was... I did enjoy that one. Again, made for TV movie. Can't get as violent as...
Yeah.
You know, you can. You got Ned Beatty as Otis. One of the movies that kind of surprised me that he was in, that I completely forgot, was... Dragging it out because now I can't remember. Find it. Oh, no, sorry. Now I remember. Radioland Murders.
Never seen it.
So that one, I would definitely recommend watching that one at some point in time. It's a George Lucas film. It is set in the 50s... when radio was, you know, just before TV and, you know, another news station is trying to get a radio station or, I'm sorry, radio station is just trying to get a broadcast on the radio or on the air. And all these deaths start happening.
And they're the first ones to cover it.
No, because they're trying to get the program to continue on. So somebody else is trying to keep it quiet. It's a really, really good movie. If you ever find it, check it out. I totally forgot he was in there. And once I realized it was him, yeah. It plays like a general of somebody. He's like financing the startup, I guess.
Gotcha.
We've got Jack Cooper as Perry White. Glenn Ford as Paul Kent. Margot Kidder as Lois Lane.
Of course.
Valerie Perrine as Eve Tessmacher. Terrence Stamp as General Zod for all of 5 minutes.
Yep.
We'll see more of him later. The other one I did want to point out was... Where is he? The infant Clark. Baby Clark. Aaron Smolinski.
Poor kid had his dinghy on TV before he was even, you know?
Well, but the fun part about him is he... has a small role in Superman 3 as like a kid at the fair or something. Maybe in Paris. Is that the one they were in Paris?
Fuck, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I haven't seen 3 or 4 in...
We'll see him soon.
Decades.
And we might see him this year. I can't remember exactly how the DC movies fall. But he also was one of the army guys in Man of Steel.
Oh, that's funny.
So, kind of a legacy casting there, which is awesome. Yeah. So, the cast is... You know these people. You know majority of these people. You've seen them in movies.
Hopefully. Well, I don't know. It depends on how young you are, I guess.
Well, even, like, for as young as we were when we saw these movies, we didn't know them at the time.
No. I mean, young people now probably wouldn't recognize some of them.
A few of them. I'd be surprised if they didn't recognize a lot of them. Well, like, Ned Beatty, he was in Rudy. Not saying that they haven't... Rudy's one of those where...
Again, showing our age.
But Rudy's one of those movies where...
So what happens every is football Samwise Gamgee...
Thanks for that. But like that, I remember watching that in high school, and that was, I think, about 10 years old at that time.
And yeah, just, so that was 20 years ago that was 10 years old.
What I'm saying is that's a movie, a sports movie that people watch. Like,
do people still watch Rudy?
Yeah, I feel like it.
I feel like it.
All right, you want to give a quick synopsis of this movie?
Sure. A man tries to explain to his government that their planet's going to explode. The government doesn't believe him. He sends his child off to another planet. Planet explodes. Child survives, gets superpowers. Found by old people. Old people die. Kid moves on.
We never do see Ma Kent die.
No,
I mean, because he disappeared for 12 years.
Doesn't she die in the second movie?
I don't remember the second movie.
He's still sending money to her first movie. So yeah, she dies in the second movie. That's when he digs everything out from underneath the barn. We'll get to that
later. Dude, it's been forever since I've seen the second one.
But kid goes to North Pole. is gone for 12 years. Nobody thinks anything of it. Goes back to the big city. Becomes a reporter instantly.
Because of his typing skills.
Oh, yeah. Mad typing skills. I mean, when you can move that fast, I guess, you know, it's not that hard to chicken peck every... at the speed of light. Meets girl. Falls in love with girl. Girl falls out of helicopter. Boy turns into his arms. Catches girl from helicopter. They meet later on. Sexual innuendos abound. Some hardcore heavy flirting. Possibly some heavy petting.
Well, there was heavy petting when she spilt, or the drink spilt on him.
Oh, that's right.
And she's wiping down his crotch, and then
he
grabs her ass when she's trying to walk behind her.
Grabs her hips as he slides by.
1970s, people.
Was that a Red Bull log boy in your pocket? Or...
Wrong.
Anyways, we do get some child abuse mixed in there.
That was amazing.
So Superman,
mommy.
Superman gets a little girl's cat out of the tree, and she goes in to tell her mom. She's like, "What did I tell you about lying?" And then you just hear the...
Like, it is very prominent.
Yeah.
Not good.
Bad guys are revealed. Main bad guy, I guess. Supervillain.
Fairly early, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think the bad guy gets revealed before Superman even gets revealed.
That is correct.
Well, technically not.
But,
I mean...
Before he gets his suit and everything.
Well, no, because when he leaves the North Pole, he has a suit.
Oh, I guess that's true.
It's actually, like, before he reveals himself to the city.
To the public. Yeah. But obviously it's Lex Luthor because, you know, what's, you know, a Superman movie that Lex Luthor is a bad guy? Anyways.
Technically it wasn't in the first one, but in the Man of Steel, but whatever.
Oh, the newer one.
Yep.
Yeah. But, no, that was Batman vs. Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Filth. Anyways.
We'll get there.
It is, for that look alone, okay. It is priceless. Nope, we're not getting into that right now.
No. I'm just saying, we'll get there. That will be like a two-hour episode.
Lex Luthor's plan is to blow off the West Coast to make a new West Coast that he owns.
Yeah, he's been buying up properties. Which, the...
Genius.
The thought behind... Yeah, I mean... Thinking about that, but then I feel like if they were to backtrace the fact that the missiles that he sent blew up California, I feel like they might be able to actually pin it on him.
And Hackensack, New Jersey.
Yeah, but nobody cares about New Jersey.
Damn. That's not
he didn't care about New Jersey.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't care about New Jersey either if we wouldn't have known about, you know, like Kevin Smith and stuff before this.
Mm, good point.
Yeah, see, if they would have blown up New Jersey, we wouldn't have gotten Kevin Smith. So.
Good point.
anyways, I would argue that Superman, it still happened, but... Superman saves Hackensack, fixes the fault. San Andreas fault, mm-hmm. but is not fast enough to save Lois. In a fit of rage, listening to the disembodied voices of his fathers, he flies reverse around the world, causing it to stop spinning and then spin backwards, which apparently causes a time paradox, which takes him back in time, where his actual self was able to save the missiles while he saved Lois. Anywho.
But no, because the missile still hit the fault.
That's right. He just there's
some problems with that.
Yeah. Anyways,
we'll dig into it in a minute.
Oh, but anyways, and then kisses Lois. No, doesn't kiss Lois. Almost kisses Lois.
Kisses her
when she's dead.
He's necrophiliac.
Yeah. She can't say no now. Kind of like, but hey, afterwards he does go back and see Miss Tessmacher. Hey, chicka bum bum. Caboose. But yeah, so that's pretty much the synopsis of the...
Yeah, I mean, takes Luther to the jail.
Well, actually, he takes him to a...
Prison.
Prison, yeah.
To make due sure. process, right?
Yeah, reverse due process.
Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, fun movie. Like,
dude, fantastic. Even watching it now, like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't hold up.
There's a lot of stuff up. But, like, watching it, I'm taking some notes... really, as soon as Reeve gets on screen, I kind of stopped taking notes.
Yeah, because it was fantastic.
Yeah, started. There's like two notes after that I took.
Yeah, well, I mean, I took a lot of notes from there, but those were mostly like me noting the characters that were in it that were from other shows.
Yeah.
The child abuse thing, and then they're reversing the world. But that's it.
So like my first note started in the beginning here. Jor-El didn't want to tell Lara. That he fucked Queen Hippolyta, but she just basically kept reminding him by wrapping Baby Kal-El in Wonder Woman's cloak. Colors. Yeah,
my first note was best Superman movie ever. Ever.
That's subjective.
Yeah, I'm the subject.
Then
I have Kryptonian hubris as the fall of their people.
Yeah, that's not wrong.
Yeah. It sounds so vaguely familiar, like this story is playing out and again.
History doesn't repeat itself.
And
it doesn't, because that's a planet's history that got destroyed. And life
definitely doesn't mimic art.
No, right? Never. Let's see, I've got partying is more important. I think that's right when
the dickbag knocks over all this stuff.
High school Clark is...
Yeah, and Lana's like... Hey, Clark, I wish you could come with us, but since you have to do that, we're going to go. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they cared, because they're all saying goodbye to Clark. Bye, Clark, bye. They're trying to make sure to wave at him. All they had to do was just hop out real quick and just help pick the stuff up.
Yeah, well, my thing about it was, they just leave it sit outside?
Well, he is taking care of it all, and he's going to go take it inside, wash it. Because he's the chore boy.
He said they just wanted him to stack it up.
I thought he wanted the players to stack it up. Because he was supposed to wash them all.
Because Clark says, he's like, I've already got everything stacked up. And then he looks over there, and that's when the guy's like, oh, Clark, looks like you're just going to have to stick around. So they're just going to leave him outside, you know. This is back in the, that would have been in what, like the 50s or 60s? According to the timeline?
The 60s?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So maybe, yeah, things are safe outside.
All they have to worry about is just tornadoes. It's fine. And if tornado comes barreling through Smallville, Kansas, pretty sure they're losing their uniforms and helmets is the least of their problems.
Nah, they'd still be mad at Clark, though.
Yeah, they would. They're still pissed off at him.
What the fuck, Clark?
Why don't you tie it down?
Why don't you just run it inside real fast like you ran to your farm real fast?
So speaking of the running, that was... Oh, God,
horrible.
I forgot how bad that was.
Yeah.
It definitely makes me think, like, when I watched... Wonder Woman 1984.
His body parts never went behind him.
No, it didn't. But that running was terrible. And so Diana's running in 1984 was definitely better. And I judged that one when I saw that movie.
Yeah, but that was also made 40 years after this movie, so you'd think they'd have been able to do a lot better.
Sure. But if we go by, like, time, this happened, what, 6 years before? That's not how that works.
Tip mic drop. I told you if that is expensive.
You have any other notes? Because my next note is a flying scene.
Oh, we actually covered all of my notes.
Okay, cool. So, obviously, after Pa dies, he's like looking longingly into the north. And he's like, I gotta leave. Bye, Mom. Peace out.
And she's like, don't worry. I'm sure somebody will help a poor old lady. It almost seemed like
she aged by herself. She aged like another decade after
his dad Paul died. Yeah, well, I mean, she probably did, dealing with, you know, like stress and
a super kid that doesn't know what the fuck to do. Also, time, it's not like they actually designated how much time has passed.
Yeah.
So it actually could have been.
And they were pretty old when they found him, so.
Correct. But I think that she still had blondish or brownish hair.
She had brown hair when they found him, I think.
Well, no, but when Jonathan died, and then like the very next scene is her after the funeral with silver hair.
Silver hair, it's that's like, right. And I'm sure he sends half his check to his dear old mom, or dear gray-haired old mom.
Yeah.
Well, actually, she's got silver hair.
That, I mean,
that was adorable.
So, he definitely embodied the Clark and wholesome Superman from the 30s.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, so, watching on HBO Max, it had a
the beginning little, of it, I'd never seen before.
Same.
With the comic.
Yeah, it had like a little introduction to the character of Superman and the character of Clark Kent. And this kid talking over it and like flipping through the comic. It was, I've never seen that before. I'm not saying it was bad. It's just,
I don't remember ever seeing it. Correct.
Either. I made a comment to you when it started because the kid was reading the book and he had his hand sitting there. And I made the comment that every time I see a hand in a book, all I can think of is the Monty Python joke where this like devilish hand comes in and grabs the hand and pulls it away. So, if you guys have seen Monty Python, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So after he goes to the North and he builds his Fortress of Solitude.
Well, it kind of builds itself.
Well, he throws the crystal. The Magua crystal.
Is that what it's called?
No, that's what I'm calling it. It got wet, so it changed.
No, it got wet and multiplied. Oh, you're right, and that's Mogwai.
So, gets the Fortress of Solitude, stays there for 12 years with a montage, and then comes back as Superman. And then he goes, like you said, goes to the big city. So, after all that, he goes and, you know, saves Lois, does the thing that everybody knows. And then we get to the flying scene where he's having an interview with Lois.
This is one of the parts that definitely does not hold up.
No, God, no. This in the end, but that's besides the point. goes and he is has an interview with Lois and then basically convinces her to
go. He stands on her balcony flying. He's like, do you trust me?
Yeah. Thanks, Aladdin.
I can show you the world.
I mean, it's kind
of, and she's like, oh, God, that, I'm going to die.
Maybe that's actually where they took it from.
Hey, I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, because they did make it from Metropolis to New York, and then
correct in, because in you Aladdin, see Statue of Liberty
in Aladdin, they go from the Great Pyramids to the Wall of China to there's a couple other places, but they fly all over the place there too. So.
All in one song, in 1 3-minute song. But no, like this scene in particular, when he's got her by the waist, okay, fine, but when he's holding her by the hand and she's still flying upright, that's a problem. That's not how
or when science works. Takes her above the clouds and she's not suffocating and dying.
You know, it's fine.
Because, you know, Superman's lungs would be strong enough to still pull in enough air for that.
Yes.
But she'd have been like, well, first off, she'd have been covered in ice. And then she'd have been like,
not breathing. Yeah.
And then he'd have been like, oh, that's right, mere human. And then drop her so she gets warm on her reentry.
Well, she fell the minute that they're like,
their hands quit touching.
Well, and even they got to the point where they were locking hands.
He did it on purpose. Well, so that he could go catch her and she'd wrap her arms around him.
Pretty sure he didn't have to do that on purpose to do that. All he had to do was be like, hey, so those pink panties.
Well, she did ask him if he liked pink. Uh-huh. And he's like, I do like pink.
I've got So his abilities, I noticed in this movie, and I know in the next movie we're going to get some more. But this one, we've got flight.
Yep.
We've got x-ray vision.
Correct.
We've got strength.
Yep.
And reverse time powers.
And speed.
I mean, speed and flight, kind of, yeah.
But he could run really fast, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, obviously, five of those six are real. One of which was not real. X-ray vision. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say the superpower strength.
There's just reverse time. Like, that... Obviously, as a kid, I didn't know anything better. Like, because, that's awesome.
Well, look, as a kid, we had the same scientific knowledge as all the adults around that time, so it's fine.
Fair.
Yeah, that was definitely a jab at old people.
No, I know.
Okay. If you're old and you're listening to this, I... aim that towards you.
Jesus. No apology, huh? I feel
you are. I have no... I work with old people all the time, and I'm not saying they're dumb, but I'm not.
There's a we have no fucks given attitude that a lot of old people have, but
there's also it's that,
not right.
But see, it's not even a no fucks given. It's a, you know, this doesn't make any sense to me, therefore it's wrong.
We're not going to... Yes, yeah. I agree
anyways,
with you.
So, let's move on. Moving on.
But that reverse time thing. I remember talking to a friend years ago. He's a big Superman fan. He hadn't read a lot of the comics, so he had just seen the movies. And this was way before, like, Man of Steel came out.
Yeah.
And he was talking about him being able to reverse time, flying backwards and doing that. And also, in, like, the second one... when he erases Lois's memory with the kiss. And I'm like, no, those aren't actual powers. Like, he can't actually do that.
Or maybe he can and we just didn't know it because he erased our memories of it.
Oh, I got to make out with Superman? All right. I'll take it.
He tongue punched your fart box.
So the budget for this movie, get through that real quick.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we didn't do all that stuff.
Well, I mean... It's not like we have a set schedule. I really should have a set layout of all this. But
it was directed
we don't.
By Richard Donner.
Yes. Produced by the Salkinds, and they're terrible people, apparently. The budget for this one was $55 million. The box office, according to Wikipedia, $300.5 million. So it definitely made money.
Yeah, they banked on that.
I mean, this was...
I can't say... You know, I can see why.
I mean, and we are... With this podcast, with... the show, we're hitting on, you know, comic book made movies. This is 1978. We've got a good handful of unknown comic book movies. I mean, like, from lesser known properties that we still haven't hit yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the few that we have, like, okay, those have been decent.
Yeah.
Not terrible. This is probably one of the first ones that actually kind of started Renaissance isn't the
this,
right word.
This it's, would be the this started the golden age of comic book movies.
Yeah.
Because
right after this you have four Supermans, you have a Batman right after the Superman movies. Then on like the Marvel side you had the Amazing Spider-Man on TV, you had the Incredible Hulk on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, you got two Captain Americas.
Well, like four, but
well the two but by this time.
Oh, you're talking about the horrible ones.
Yeah. So, like, the known comic book properties, Marvel, DC, those are starting to come out. They're starting to make
this
a name for themselves.
This is where, this was DC's golden age of movies.
From 78 to about
93. I don't know, when did Batman Returns come out?
92. Oh, yeah, no, it went downhill from that. I'm not disagreeing. I do look forward to watching them because I feel like they're still, as bad as they were, I think there's still some gold there.
Oh, there is, absolutely. The kind of gold that we love to burn like fool's gold in this place.
And we will get to those in good time. Yeah. But yes, like those were, that is definitely considered the golden age. You take out Batman Forever, Batman and Robin. Those six movies were definitely DC's. And then... right around this time, you got Wonder Woman on TV as well. So, like...
Well, and then, you know, right after the Batman movies, like the Michael Keaton ones, we got Batman the Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men.
Yep.
Spider-Man. You know, they just went.
I think there was Iron Man, a Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but
wow, Justice League was starting, getting close to coming out.
Well, actually, they had a Justice League cartoon around this time, didn't they? Like
The Super Friends stuff. Yeah. That was the 60s.
It was 60s. But they used to have a Spider-Man in the 62.
Correct. So the knowledge of comic book heroes was was there. These are just the more popular ones. And it started, like, you're right, it was a golden age. And then once we get to the 90s, it starts to shift to where the production gets better, the stories get better, for the most part.
And then
2000s just.
Resurgence with X-Men.
I would argue Blade, but.
Oh! See, I always forget about Blade.
Everybody does.
And Blade was. Actually, I liked Blade, the first Blade, better than I did the first X-Men movie.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
We'll save that for. We'll watch it. All right, so get into a few fun facts.
A few? 174?
I didn't copy all of them. I just went through that many of the 300. So, starting out here, according to Roger Moore's autobiography, he witnessed Christopher Reeve walking through a canteen at Pinewood Studios in full Superman costume, oblivious to the swooning female admirers he left in his wake. When he did the same thing dressed as Clark Kent, no one paid any attention.
That's
so
awesome.
It works. Like, the costume works.
Like, you said Roger Moore is in, like, 007?
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. That's awesome.
Let's see here. Marlon Brando was paid $3.7 million plus a percentage of the gross for 12 days of shooting.
Fuck.
My understanding is they wanted to get Brando's filming and Hackman's filming done as quick as possible.
So they didn't have to pay as much.
Well, that. But also, they were contracted to other projects, too.
Yeah.
Like, they had... They're the names.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that you want. When they actually showed the marquee, those two were top billed.
Yeah, Marlon Brando's first name, and then Gene Hackman. And
yeah.
Then, you know,
and then the credit. Then the Superman
thing.
To achieve the shot of young Clark Kent kicking a football into orbit, an air cannon was placed underground and the football fired from it.
Nice.
So, fun. On his first day on the set, Marlon Brando suggested to Richard Donner that the cameras roll during rehearsal. Brando repeatedly said, "Who knows? We might get lucky." According to Donner, that very first take was the one that was used in the finished film.
That's awesome.
Okay. You say that, but Brando was notoriously lazy and was constantly pulling little stunts like this to lessen his workload. Christopher Reeve even complained about it in an interview, saying Brando was phoning it in and it shows. I mean, he's...
Hey, work smarter, not harder, right?
But he's not wrong, because there's another Easter egg down here, a trivia down here later on. I don't know where it's at, but the scene where he's having that little speech to young Clark before the ship goes off. Apparently, he put the script in the ship. He didn't rehearse it. He just put the script down there and was reading it as...
That's a genius idea if you really think about it. He's looking at his son with this heart-filled, you know...
He didn't rehearse it.
Exactly.
No, it's that, like, he didn't rehearse it this first time reading, which, don't get me wrong, if you can pull it off, great. But that's also fucking lazy. That's disrespectful for everybody else on the... Fair in the enough. Cast, man.
At least he didn't write it on his hand.
fair. Very
so,
fair.
Let me get out my... Hey, my spectacle.
let's see. Christopher Reeve worked out so much during the making of this film that the traveling mat shots taken of him at the beginning of the shoot did not match the later shots, and they had to retake.
That's awesome.
I knew he was huge too, but
makes sense. 6'4", 225 pounds, and he was lean, so it wasn't like it was, you know.
To maintain on-screen continuity, Christopher Reeve dubbed all of Jeff East's dialogue as young Clark Kent. East's voice is never heard during the film.
I knew that.
Yeah, I did. I knew that one too. Apparently, the creators Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster were both delighted with the movie, which is awesome.
Well, hell yeah, I would be too. I mean, it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Hackman apparently did not want to shave his head. He also didn't want to wear a bald cap. So there are hair pieces in it, and I'm assuming at the very end he actually did wear a skull cap.
And it showed you know, Otis picking him up, like, yes, and moving around and stuff.
So to try and play with that. So to maintain the fact that his hair looked different every time, they actually just
styled it differently.
Yeah. Which is
awesome.
Smart. See, Christopher Reeve proved to be an even greater asset than anticipated after being cast. Reeve flew gliders as a hobby and used his experience as a pilot to make Superman's flying feel more believable. His performance as both Superman and Clark Kent was roundly praised in making the superhero's secret identity seem surprisingly convincing. Also, Reeve provided his voice for the air traffic controller giving the arriving helicopter pilot the current flying conditions. So, I think I told you that one.
Yes, you did.
Let's see here. There's so much. I know, I think I told you off mic before that behind-the-scenes stuff, notorious
drama. You said notorious drama.
Donner and the Salkinds just butted heads constantly. Salkinds were the producers of the movie. To the point where I think they hired, I think Fletcher?
An arbitrator or something?
Yeah, which was actually the director for the next film. I can't remember his name now. Fletcher, I believe. Fleischer? Whatever. He was the go-between. And then when Salkinds fired Donner, they gave him
the director job
for two, which is also pretty bullshit because they basically connived and convinced Donner to film about 75% of Superman 2 before they fired him while they were filming this film. So, like, 1 and 2 were filmed back-to-back.
Yeah. They used to do that a lot.
They did.
It was smart.
It really was.
Yeah.
But they weren't obviously completely done, and then they fired Donner, and it's like, all right, well, here you go. Make this happen. So then, you know, years later, I think in the early 2000s, when we got the Donner cut of
Superman 2. See, at least you didn't have to wait that long for your Snyder cut.
You're not wrong. Well, that was more, that probably shouldn't have happened, Donner cut.
Yeah.
In all honesty, Snyder cut shouldn't have happened. But pandemic kind of changes things.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Hey, you know what? I'm not gonna say no to it. Which, when this comes out, we will be 2 days away from Snyder Cut.
Ah.
So
you know, Joe, you'll be in 2 days.
Oh yeah, no, I got the day off of work. I got that day off of work, and I got the next day off of work.
That's awesome. So are you still gonna see it in theaters?
They're not putting it in theaters.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, not yet. It's just gonna be HBO Max exclusive. Okay. I'm sure in like a couple months, where they're like, hey, let's get some more money. Yeah. Then yes, I will go see it in theaters.
I might come over and watch it with you.
Yeah. Because
I don't even know what day that is.
We'll figure it out. Off mic, we'll figure that one out.
Yeah.
Okay, screw it. That's
Let's talk about Miss Tessmacher.
Other than hold on. other than the little bit I said, I know there's a lot of drama that was behind the scenes. DC Films, Squadcast Films, which is a Patreon exclusive thing for the Squadcast guys, Squadcast Media guys, they do a deeper dive. Scott over there does a really good deep dive into it, and he's talking about it when they do their cover their Superman movie. Whatever behind the scenes stuff he watched tells all about it. We don't have that much time because we don't do that.
Amen.
Not saying we can't, just we don't.
Exactly.
Because this is the middle of a work week. So. Yeah.
And we both work early in the morning.
Yeah, my scheduling was bad for this one. Sorry about that.
Oh, I forgot how long the movie was, too.
I thought it was at least just 2 hours. I didn't think it was two and a half.
I was thinking it was an hour and 45 minutes. And
oh, okay. I knew it was at least two.
And then, two and a half hours.
Yeah. But yeah, if you can't really listen to that coverage unless you're a Patreon member, but I feel like most of the ones that listen to me are. If you guys haven't listened to that one yet, go check it out. Miss Tessmacher. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, Miss Tessmacher is Luther's assistant, girlfriend, maybe, I don't know, honestly. He treats her kind of like both, so.
Yeah.
She is the I guess, eye candy of the movie.
Basically. First time you see her, she's in, like, a see-through outfit.
Yeah, and then, you know, when she jumps in to save Superman from the water, she's in a white outfit.
Another see-through outfit.
Yep, fantastic. And then she makes out with Superman.
She...
And then Superman goes back for a little...
Unconfirmed. But, no, what's awesome is, for anybody who has seen the Supergirl TV show, we get an Eve Testmacher in there around season four?
Yeah, three.
Three?
I think it's three.
Well, she's in there for a couple seasons, so... I mean, I know she just... Yes, because season six is on now, and she was in there on season five. Season four, she was MIA until, like, the end. So, yeah, she's in season three, and she actually... That the actress, I can't remember her name, contacted Valerie Perrine, this Eve Testmacher, and got some pointers, and just... It was nice to talk to her. Just kind of... Because this is a new character, original character.
Yeah.
So
there's nothing for her.
Correct.
Yeah.
Contact her. Apparently she was really sweet, really nice lady.
Well, I'm sure she was. She seemed that way in the movie too, and you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah. Other than that, like I can't think of anything else. We didn't do a lot of nitpicking.
Because
it's a classic movie. I mean,
we nitpicked at the things that needed to be nitpicked.
We did.
The reversing time and the flying. And I mean, other than that, it was like,
for its time, it's it was fantastic. The best movie.
Absolutely. Ever. Absolutely. Like,
there was, I think in some of the notes, it was the second highest of 1978, just behind Grease.
Really? Behind Grease?
Or was it Grease behind that? Let me double check that real quick. I thought it said, yeah, this is the second highest grossing film of 1978 behind Grease.
Huh.
So... That's, I mean...
That's actually really, that's really, really good when you think about the fact that it was a comic book movie.
Correct.
You know?
So...
And it also has minimum action, if you really think about it.
Yeah, it really
does. Like fighting action, like violence action.
We definitely get more action in the second one.
Yeah.
But, again, I think when they filmed this, when they filmed one and two back-to-back, when Donner was doing that, I think it was supposed to be, like, a part one, part two.
Yeah.
Not just Superman 1, Superman 2... Superman Part 1, Superman Part 2, all one movie.
Yeah.
I could be completely wrong by that, but...
But it makes sense.
I think it feels... I think... Well, not only just that, but, like, if we were to watch Superman 2 right now, I think it'd be seamlessly right into it.
Well, I know that at the beginning of Superman 2, they redo the whole thing with them going into the Phantom Zone, but other than that...
Again, if we actually watched it... I think if we watched the Donner Cut, it'd be more seamless.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, because it wouldn't have, you know...
Correct. But...
Anywho.
But I can't think of anything else to talk about, honestly.
Like, I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I will say nostalgia will be a bitch for this one, because it's going to give it a higher... Like Charlie said, it's going to give it a higher thing right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Hear that, Charlie? Still quoting you, buddy. So, go ahead.
What's your thought? All right. Like we said, for its time, fantastic. Even for our time, it's still pretty... It holds up pretty well. I think, anyways. Obviously, there's the nostalgia factor, which bumps up. Like I told you, when I was... this is one of my first movies I remember from my childhood. Like, youngest memories, you know?
Yeah.
I remember watching this in a house that I don't even remember. So...
Dang. Okay.
Exactly. So...
Fair.
I'm giving it a 9.
Wow.
Yep.
Dang.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I... You know, like I said, this is my favorite Superman movie ever. This one and the second one. I've never gotten a Superman that was better than this. So.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm not talking about the movie itself. I'm talking about the actor.
Yeah.
Like, Christopher Reeves is Superman to me.
Okay.
And will always be Superman to me. Even when he was in, like, Smallville and he was in the wheelchair.
God,
he was still Superman to me.
Yes. And when we get to, you know, Brandon Roth and Henry Cavill,
Oh, holy shit, he's Adam. The Atom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when...
Oh my god, nope, yep, returns. Oh my god, I can't believe I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah,
I feel like such an idiot.
That was the whole reason why they put him back in the suit in the Christ on the Earth crossover.
Yeah.
He was Kingdom Come Superman.
I haven't seen that one.
Well, there's commercials. but no, like, he... I liked Brandon Roth. I thought he did a really good job both as Superman and Clark Kent. I thought he made it his own, while still honoring Christopher Reeve, we will get to that movie, and I'll go more in depth with it then. For Henry Cavill as both Clark and Superman, I liked what it was. I like what it is because of the time frame. We'll get to it later on. I don't want to dive into it right now. Myself, I agree. This is nostalgic. This is a great film. This is Superman at its finest. The flying scene and the world, or the time reverse, is the only drawbacks. I've got to give it an 8. So definitely better than, Superman and the Mole Man.
Yeah. But, that's almost what, triple that score?
yeah.
Let's see. Superman and the Mole Man.
Superman and the Mole Man was 4.
So this is double. And then some.
This also puts it 8-5. Yeah, the very, very top.
Hey. Yeah. We have a new leader.
Woo. And now I will run through the...
since this is movie number 10.
10th movie. 10th movie, guys.
This is made in 78?
Yep.
Yeah.
8.5.
We got to start at the bottom and work our way up.
I mean, I could do either one. Okay. So, well, I got...
Oh, you've already got it. Oh, okay, gotcha.
And I've got it in my notes so I can just plug it in there instead of having to, like, re-erase it and all that stuff.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So, Superman the movie with an 8.5. It's our new number one movie.
Yep.
That was going to be hard to top.
Yes, it is.
Although, according, listening to the Squadcast movie guys, there is a couple coming up that I haven't seen and be interested to see. Road to Perdition is one of them.
Okay.
So we will get that one at some point in time.
Is that...
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's a comic book movie.
I may have watched that.
I have never seen it.
I may have watched it.
So Superman the movie at number one, followed by Flash Gordon, the greatest adventurer of all, at a 7.5.
Which is the cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange from 1978 at... A third for 7.
Tied for third
At 7.25, along with Batman: Mask of the Phantasm,
which was also fantastic and also a cartoon.
Number 5 is Danger Diabolic with a 6.73. Number 6 is Barbarella with a 5.88. Amazing Spider-Man comes in at number 7 with a 5.
Yep.
Number 8 is Batman the Movie from 1966 with a 4.28. 9 is Captain... Or, I'm sorry. Nope. Superman and the Mole Man from 1951 with a 4.
Yep.
And then...
Ooh, the kick in the dick right there.
Far below that is Captain America from 1979 with a 2.5.
2.5.
So that's our first 10. That's, I love it.
Yeah,
that's actually fantastic. A solid list so far.
Absolutely. Like,
where everything is at, I feel comfortable. And even, like... I know even with Batman being 4.28, I would still watch it again.
Oh, absolutely.
It might be a while, but I would definitely watch it again. But
speaking of Batmans, I'm kind of excited about watching the Michael Keaton Batmans again because I haven't watched them in so long.
It's been the same.
I'm wondering how the nostalgia will hold up for that one. I don't think it's going to be as well as
I don't know.
Did, but I also know that, I mean, you know.
Well, I think it will.
That was like my first real Batman, you know, so.
Yeah, because right after that, like 2 years after that, is when Animated Series came out. So, or 3 years, because that was 89.
Because
92 was, yeah.
I think so.
So, that was our Superman review.
Yeah, go watch the movie, guys. Especially if you haven't seen it, which, I mean.
It's on HBO Max.
Either been living under a rock or you're really young.
Well, hold on. Like, my daughter hasn't seen it.
That's what I said. But she's really 14. Young.
Okay. I heard dumb.
No, I said living under a rock or really young.
I heard dumb.
No. When you said young.
Okay. Sorry.
I apologize for that. I've got a stuffed up nose.
Sorry. My bad. So go listen. Or go check out our t-shirts over on Redbubble and TeePublic. Show notes. I'll leave the links in the show notes. A song was done by... No, not Joe. The other one. Cam.
Yeah. Wow. It's not that he forgot you, Cam. It's he forgot your name.
No, it's... I forgot to say it on the last couple.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, last one especially, and last time we recorded was a while ago for Rundown Reviews.
Oh, yeah. I guess it has been.
So, yeah. Cam from Wreck My Podcast and Sex Turtles. Also, don't worry about that. I don't think Cam listens to this stuff. He doesn't like listening to podcasts.
Fantastic.
He's a jerk. Just kidding, buddy.
You just said he's not going to listen to it. Don't apologize.
go ahead and give us a review over on Apple Podcast or whatever podcasting app you use. Give us 5 stars if you can. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yay. I mean, we're happy with whatever we get.
We are. And then we'll definitely read the reviews on probably like a J-Chats.
Yes. But if you do leave the reviews and it's not on Apple Podcasts, let this big guy over here know so that he can look them up. And
yes. And also, or if you want to like take a screenshot of it and send it to either, you know, Twitter, Instagram, email, which is Twitter is at Comic Rundown. Instagram is at Comic Book Rundown. And then email is comicbookrundown@gmail.com. I always forget like I'm missing something.
I think we covered everything.
I think we did.
Unless you were doing some random shout-outs at the end.
I don't do it on this one. I do that on the main.
Yeah. Well,
like, not that people listen to that one either, but... no. So, our next movie is...
Bum, bum, bum.
I've got
I thought you were actually going to pull up a DVD.
No, because...
I was waiting for the big reveal. I'm like, man, that's a...
We're watching this one on YouTube, I believe. Tales from the Crypt, 1972.
Oh, nice. And horrible.
It's a horror movie, so.
Horrible.
No, horror.
Oh, horror.
Horrible.
For some reason, I thought you said it was Tales from the Crypt, 1972. Horrible movie.
No. Yeah, so I think that one is on YouTube, so we'll be watching that, recording that with a guest. So, ooh, yeah. Well,
who?
Well, you'll see.
Yeah. No, I won't. I'll hear.
Good. No, you'll see.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, now I finally know who it is.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate it.
Peace.